Subastav Peva of Amad Beis, Shin number 2. We're going from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on the Amad, just above halfway down. The Mishnah teaches us like this. Hamoishav es ishtoi chenvanis oishamina apotropia. If a person places his wife, he installs his wife as the chenvanis, as the storekeeper, or he appoints her as the apotropia, which is the administrator of his business. So he's given her a certain position in his company. Harize mashbia kozman sheyirtze. He can make her take an oath anytime he wants, because she's in charge of his livelihood, his business, and his cash flow. So therefore, he can make her make an oath that she hasn't been taking things from the shop or siphoning money away in the business. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, he says, afilo al pilka ve'al isusa. Even if she hasn't been put in charge of a business, even if she's just put in charge of a spindle, which is where she's spinning the wool, or isusa, or even if she just makes dough and makes bread, then he can even make her make a shavua whenever he wants that she hasn't taken any of the wool or any of the dough. So Tanakama holds you can only impose an oath on your wife if you set her up in some position of authority over the finances, either in the business or as a storekeeper. And Rabbi Eliezer seems to say that you can make a shavua whenever you want, even on basic things like spinning wool and making dough. So the Gemara says, Iboyelahu. They asked a question, Rabbi Eliezer al yedei gilgul ka'amar, does Rabbi Eliezer say that you can make your wife make an oath? Is that only through Gilgul Shavua, which is where if you have an opportunity to make her make an oath about something else, you can add on to that Shavua about the spindle and the dough? Or does he hold that even without any other pre-existing obligation to make a Shavua, you can just out of the blue, l'chadchila, make her make an oath? So the Gemara says, Toshma, to answer this question. So Amr lo the Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, they said, Ein Adam Dar im Nochesh b'kfifa. A person can't live with a snake in the same basket. Which means, in this case, is that you can't possibly expect a woman to feel comfortable living with a husband who at the drop of a hat could make her make a shavua. So now the Gemara says like this, if you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds that, in his opinion, that the man can even lechachila, out of the blue, without any other pre-existing shavua, he can impose this shavua on his wife, then shapir, then it makes sense, because that's why a woman would feel so uncomfortable living with a husband who could just make a shavua in any given moment. But if you're going to say that the husband can only make his wife make this shavua about the business dealings, if there was already a pre-existing shavua, and then he just uses that pre-existing shavua and expands it and makes her make a shavua on the spindle and the dough, well then, my nafka lamina. So then what difference does it make to her? Because she's anyway has to make a shavua for the other legitimate reason. He's just making her make another shavua at the same time. But that's not so uncomfortable. So it seems to be then that if the Chachamim understood in Rabbi Eliezer that he meant that the husband can make the wife make a shavua, even the chachila, without Gilgul shavua. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe the Amralei came into the Kodaikus. Since you are so specific, you're so exacting, basroi kulehai, you're so exacting about my behavior so much, lo matzina da adur bahadoch, I can't live with you. Meaning, maybe they were saying like this, Rabbi Eliezer, you do only allow the husband to give his wife a shavua if there was Gilgul shavua, but still, by allowing him to do that, you're basically showing the wife that the husband can be constantly checking up on her. And he might just be saving the opportunity to make her make a shavua for when there's another shavua so he can do Gilgul. But the point of this Gemara is that from the response of the Chachamim to Rebbe Eliezer, it's not clear whether Rebbe Eliezer holds that l'chadchila the husband can make a shavua, or whether it's only through Gilgul shavua. So the Gemara carries on and says, Toshma, let's try answer this question again. It says, Hari shaloi potter es ishtoi, amina neder umina shavua. So if you've got a guy who, we'll learn this later on, he hasn't exempted his wife from having to make shavuas, meaning there's still the possibility that he might make his wife make a shavua. For hishiva chenvani so shemino apetropio, and he makes her the storekeeper or the administrator of his business. Harizeh mashbia kolzman sheyirtza. He can make her make a shavua anytime he wants. Now this is pretty much exactly what we said up above. The Gemara says, the carries on, the Mishnah says, lo yoshiva chanvanis, but if he hasn't made her the shopkeeper, v'lo mino apitropi, and he hasn't made her the administrator, then eino yochel ashpia, he cannot. That's Tanakama. Rebbe Eliezer Oimer, Rebbe Eliezer says, afapi shalo yoshiva chanvanis, v'lo mino apitropi, even though he hasn't made her the storekeeper or the administrator of his business, harizeh mashpia kozman sheyirtze, he can make a shavua whenever he wants. She'eino cha'isha shalinas is apotropia sha'achas b'chai b'ayla, because there's no woman who hasn't been made an apotropia, some administrator at some point in the life of her husband, al pilcha v'alisasa, on the spindle or on the dough. We see from this that Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can make a shavua because she's like an apotropia. It's as if she's an apotropia. And that you can do l'chachila without Gilgul Shavua, because she's basically an apotropia on the pilcha and on the isasa. So Amru Loi, the Chachamim said, Ein adam dar im nachash b'kafifa, that a person can't live with a snake in the basket, meaning she can't possibly be happy with such an existence where you could just impose a Shavua on her whenever you want. What do we see from this? Shma mina l'chachila, shma mina. From here we see clearly that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a man can make his wife make a shavua l'chachila. That's even without Gilgul shavua. And to that the Chachamim responded, how on earth do you expect a woman to be able to live in such a situation with the husband breathing down her neck the whole time and he can even make a shavua on any of her business dealings? Now we did just mention this idea that a husband could exempt his wife from having to make shavuas to him. So the Gemara, the Mishnah now tells us, Kosav la neder shavua ein li olaych. If a husband writes to his wife a document saying that he exempts her from any neder or shavua, any vows or oaths, then ein yochel ashbia. At a later point, he cannot force her to take an oath. Aval mashpia hu es yoresheve es haboim birushusa, but he can make her inheritors if she dies and they're coming to take the ksuba. He can make them make an oath, or the people who are coming coming in her place, her successors. So the exemption was only with her. But nedu shavua ein li olaych. But if he says that I'm not going to impose any nedorim or shavuas on you, va'al yerushayich va'al abayim berushaseich, or on your inheritors or successors, then in that case, the document is true, and eino yochel ashbia loy hi v'loy yerushaya v'loy es abayim berushusa. He cannot impose an oath on her heirs or her successors. Aval yerushav mashbien oisah, but his heirs, if he dies, then they can make her a shavua. They can make her make a shavua, ve'es yerusha, ve'es abayim birushusa, and her inheritors and her successors. So this document exempting or relinquishing the rights to impose a shavua on her or her heirs and successors, at this stage it would only be applicable to him, but his inheritors could. However, he could expand this document. Neder u'shavua ein li v'loy l'yorishai v'loy l'abayim b'rishusi. If he says, not for me, not for my inheritors or my successors, then olayich v'al yorishayich v'al abayim b'rishuseich, on you, on your inheritors, and on your successors, then in such a case, basically what he's saying is neither me nor my heirs or successors can impose an oath on you or your heirs or your successors. So in that case, enu yochel ashbia loyhu, he or his heirs or his inheritors, his successors, cannot impose an oath on her heirs or her successors. So that's a full exemption. But the Mishnah does qualify this, and it says, if she went from the gravesite of her husband, so the husband died, and she goes back to her father's household, or she returned back to her father-in-law's house, but she wasn't made an administrator of her late husband's property, then in such a case, the heirs, meaning her husband's heirs, cannot impose an oath on her. But if she was at some point after the death of her husband made an administrator of his property, then the inheritors can impose an oath on her that she hasn't taken anything from his property, but that's only on the ostid lavoi, on from the time of death onwards. But they can't make her make a shavua on her administrating of his property from before the husband's death, because that was obviously precluded in that document. So here we see that the heirs, that document does limit the heir's ability to be able to impose a shavua on this woman. However, if after the husband, the father's death in this case, if after the father's death, she was made an apotropia on his property, then they could make her make a shavua from the time of death onwards.